We're going to move into an interview about dogs, romance, and we're going to talk about a couple other different things too. We'll leave that as a surprise for the viewers that stay with us throughout this interview. Today we have on Marion Zola. Again, if you want to look her up, it's Marion Zola. And she's going to be talking about a book that she had authored. It's Romancing the Dog, The Struggle to Make a Pound Dog Happy in Beverly Hills. Again, look it up on Amazon. It's a bestseller. Again, Romancing the Dog, The Struggle to Make a Pound Dog Happy in Beverly Hills. So, Marion, thanks so much for coming on again. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
I've always been a dog guy, and I actually even like cats now, which is another story in itself, because I used to not like cats. But that's another story maybe we'll talk about throughout this interview. But talking about dogs, everybody loves dogs, and you know, there's so many good things about dogs in general. And as a dog lover myself, Marion, what made you love dogs? Did that always have happened for you? Did it just start when you were a child, or has it been going?
Oh yeah,
go ahead.
Like most kids, like dogs,
right?
And I always loved all animals, to be honest, but especially dogs. And they're so loving and so easy to relate to. And my first dog relationship before I even got one was a dog across the street who I developed a relationship with. And we had a love affair. His name was Chips. And then I had a couple of dogs when I was a kid. But that dog remained the one I loved the most. And I vowed that the next dog I got when I was an adult would be named after him. And indeed, I did name him Chips. That's the dog in the book.
So Marion, let's talk about this. There are people that are afraid of dogs, that don't like dogs. Do you feel like that's something that happened in their childhood, that they just don't like dogs? Maybe they were bitten by a dog?
Yeah, that happens occasionally. But they're in the minority. Most people do love dogs. And the proof is during COVID, the adoption and sale rates for dogs were through the roof. People had trouble getting dogs. And as a matter of fact, Rob, one of the sad things is that a lot of people bought dogs on the internet. And what they don't know is you should never ever buy a dog on the internet, because either they're coming from a puppy mill, and I can explain how to tell from the ad, or they're coming from another country where the conditions could be even worse. The United States just banned the import of dogs from 113 countries that were falsifying vaccination certificates, rabies certificates, which we don't have in this country. But it started to come in again because people couldn't find the dog they wanted right away, and they were impatient and they got a dog from another country, and 113 of them were falsifying rabies certificates. That's why one of the many reasons why you should never buy a dog on the internet. And if you want to adopt a dog, the best thing to do is go to petfinder.com, because they list all the adoptable pets in every area. You put in your zip code and they tell you what's there. You can put in a breed, a sex, whatever you want. Of course, the local shelters and the local rescue groups have tons of dogs. And you want to always see the dog before you get the dog. Of course, I'm a big proponent of adoption. I believe with all the adoptable dogs, nobody needs to buy a dog. Right. But if there are people who just don't want anything but a puppy, and if you insist on getting a puppy, you must get it from a legitimate breeder. Because if you don't, you're supporting a very cruel industry called puppy mills, in which the poor breeding animals are kept in wire cages their entire lives they never get to stand on ground, on real ground. They have no proper medical care. They're living in filth. They have no human contact. It's horrible.
PupQuest.
The website pupquest.com will give you the criteria for a legitimate breeder, but I can tell you what they are. A legitimate breeder will have you come and see the dog. They want to know about the potential buyer. They will give you a lot of questions. They will ask you questions about how you're going to treat the dog. A legitimate breeder shows you the dog first. They're proud of their animals, and they introduce you to the mother of the puppies or the parents of the puppies, and you see the operation. They have one dog or two dogs, and that's it. Those are the legitimate breeders. You want to go to a breeder in your state where you can go and visit the dog.
Is there any states that have outlawed puppy mills? I feel like there's been a few, yeah.
There's only three, and I'm sorry, don't have those right in the ready. They've gotten a restriction on the number. People used to have hundreds of these breeding dogs. Though even in those states, they've only limited them to 50 or 75 dogs. It's just horrible. And I hate to tell you that Pennsylvania is one of the worst, because the Amish, believe it or not, are some of the worst proponents of puppy mills. It's amazing to think about it, but they are. And these animals are treated in the most horrible way imaginable. So please don't buy a dog unless it's in your state and you see it. By the way, Rob, one more thing.
Sure.
Every breed has its own rescue group. So if you want a German Shepherd, go to German Shepherd Rescue. You want a poodle, go to Poodle Rescue. All of these groups specialize in certain breeds. But as I repeat, petfinder.com lists all the adoptable dogs in your area. And the local shelters and the rescue groups are the best resource for adoptable dogs.
Again, this is Marion Zola, and she is the author of an Amazon bestseller that just came out. Definitely check it out again on Amazon, of Romancing the Dog, the Struggle to Make a Pound Dog Happy in Beverly Hills. So, Marion, as we keep going into this and really talk about the book in depth right now, what made you want to write this book?
Well, this was my obituary to my dog. Mm-hmm. As soon as he died, I was missing him so much. And I had such a wonderful, my husband and I had such wonderful experiences with this dog. And he changed our lives, and we had all kinds of adventures. And I just had to write it. I just had to write down what he meant to me. And I didn't want to forget anything. So as soon as he died, I started writing this. And it was really my obituary to him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's great, because, you know, we talked about that. I don't believe if we talked on air or off air, but regardless, people know if they have a dog, and we talked about this in the interview, that dogs are extremely special creatures. Most of them are lovable. The only dogs that are vicious is if the dogs that are taught to be vicious.
Right.
Dogs don't, just like people don't, you know, become vicious. There's something that happens, whether it's a parent, a family member, or something they see on TV that teaches them to become vicious. It's the same thing with dogs. They don't become vicious overnight.
Exactly. I mean, one of the worst things that ever happened was dog fighting. And that is illegal in the United States, but it still goes on like other illegal activities go on. And certain cultures are more prone to that. I mean, just like cockfighting. I mean, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. It's very cruel. And they abuse the animals and make them fight. And a lot of them just won't. They're so good natured that they won't fight no matter what they do. And those dogs are usually mauled to death. It's horrendous. But let's talk about the upside. I mean, there's a lot of romantic advantages to having a dog.
Right, and I want to talk about that. You know, you talked about Chips and how you met that dog when you were younger, and it really, you know, you just spoke about romance and stuff, and you feel like you did have that romantic relationship because that dog really had a special place in your heart, even though it wasn't your dog. So coming now to the dog that you have and naming it Chips, was that just because you felt like you were going to have that same special bond with this new dog you have?
Well, I was hoping, and sure enough, it did happen. He was just wonderful. I saw him in a cage, and it was love at first sight, but it was a little more complicated than that. And I'm sure that anybody who reads it will understand fully exactly what happened.
How does the book get into romance, I guess?
Well, you know, I was married when we got him, but if I had been single, and this happened when I was single, there's nothing easier than meeting somebody with a dog.
Right.
A dog breaks the ice. You don't have to think of something to say. The two dogs, if somebody else has a dog, the dog goes right over and starts relating to the sniffing or licking or wagging their tail at another dog, and immediately you have a connection. You can say, is he friendly? Is she friendly? And you're talking, and you can ask something. Whenever my dog meets another dog, I'm immediately talking to whoever is walking that dog. And it's really easy to make a connection socially with somebody who has a dog. And even if you don't have a dog, and you're walking and you see someone with a dog, you can start a conversation by saying, can I pet him or can I pet her? Or that's such a beautiful dog. What kind of dog is that? I mean, there's a million ways to start a conversation. And I'll tell you, Rob, you can tell a lot about a person's character by how they treat their dog.
Right.
When I see somebody jerking their dog's neck or making them obey a lot of commands for no reason other than to exert their power and show that they can make this helpless creature obey them, I know right away that is not somebody I want to get involved with. That is someone who's insecure, who has to exert their authority over this helpless animal. When I see a guy, for instance, who stops what he's doing to walk, to pet the dog, to talk to the dog, to make sure the dog has water, to give up his Saturday morning to take the dog to the dog park and throw a ball. That's the kind of guy I want to meet. And I'll tell you something interesting. When I met my husband, it was a blind date. We were fixed up by mutual friends. And when we met, the first thing my husband told me, other than I'm never getting married again, he was in the process of a divorce, he started talking about the dog that he had left behind. He had to leave the dog with his ex-wife because the dog was half blind and deaf, and he was afraid to take her out of the environment that she knew, you know, the house that she knew. And he really was missing the dog. And he spent the first hour telling me how wonderful his dog was, how brilliant his dog was. She could play hide and seek. She knew one toy from another. And you could see this guy really loved his dog.
Right.
That gave me a good feeling about him. I'm an animal lover. He was an animal lover. And that was the immediate connection.
Right. And it does show you how, you know, person is going to be, you know, if you think about for the people that are listening, as far as millennials, and you look at that, if you see a woman or a guy that is really, you know, taking care of the dog, and you know that dog's in good shape and that dog's being loved, then you know that that person will probably be good with kids if you want to have kids. So Because a kid is like a dog. You have to, you know, make sure it goes to the bathroom. You have to change its diaper. You know, it's all, it all runs into the same effect.
It's so. A helpless creature that needs taking care of.
Right.
That's so true. That's a good point.
Yeah, so that's the way I think of it. But to go back into the book, so we talk about chips and stuff with the book. So can you talk about how chips turned your life upside down?
Well, you know, there's a lot in that book. It really would be better to leave a lot of those things, but we had so many funny things. I'll tell you, we went to buy a car. And Chips had, you know, a couple of herniated discs in his back. But he did have long legs. He was a Tibetan Terrier, which we had never heard of when we got him. I thought he was a mutt, you know. He turned out to be a Tibetan Terrier. He had pretty long legs for a Tibetan, but I wasn't sure he could jump into the car. And at that time, I had a bad back. So we were looking at Saabs, and we were trying out different car, different models, and we were trying to see if the dog could jump into the car, if it was too high or too low. And I didn't want to have to keep picking him up because my back was bad at the time. It's since gotten fixed, but at the time I had a back problem. So Chips is jumping into the car, and there was another couple there. And they were doing the same thing with their pet. They wanted to see if their pet could get into the car. But do you know what their pet was? A pot-bellied pig. So here was this big charcoal gray pot-bellied pig in a harness. And she wouldn't walk up the ramp into the car. It was like a hatchback. And the salesman was dying to sell the car to this couple. And they couldn't get the pig to go up the ramp. Well, the funniest thing, Chips figured out the whole situation. He jumped into the back seat and started barking at the pig to come up the ramp. And she wouldn't come. Finally, she put one paw after another and she made it slowly up to the ramp. Up the ramp to the back of the hatchback, thanks to Chips. So thanks to my dog, that salesman sold two cars in an hour. And that was just one of the many things that we went through with him.
So Marion, the question then is after that is, did you get a discount on your car then?
You know, that would have been a good thing to ask for, but I wasn't smart enough to ask for it. But that's true. The salesman had a great day thanks to us.
Oh, excuse me. Edit that out. No, that's funny. That's quite a story. And I'm sure, like you said, if people read the book, they'll definitely catch more stories like that and all kinds of other stuff. And as we keep going into the interview, can you talk about, you know, you just adopted an older dog. And we hear this, you know, a lot of people that go into animal shelters, like you said, they're looking for the puppy. They're not looking for the older dog. But the older dogs have feelings. The older dogs are good dogs, just as the puppies are. In fact, the older dog might be better than the puppy because you may not have to house train the older dog. Whereas the puppy,
you probably would have to go to them. You are so right, Rob. We adopted a 10-year-old dog. There are so many advantages to an older dog. Number one, it's not a 15-year commitment, which a puppy is, if you're a responsible person. Right. Number two, the older dogs are almost always housebroken. They're trained. They're mellow. They're not jumping, running, pulling, chewing, and especially if you're a little older, an older dog is great. They're appreciative, they're mellow, you know how they're gonna turn out. And you know, they're almost all of them, well, just about all of them have been pre-owned. So the owner may have died, the owner may be too sick to take care of it, or they're in a nursing home where they couldn't bring the dog. But you know, they discovered that if they let people bring their pets to a nursing home, the people do much better.
Yeah.
And also, they're now bringing dogs into nursing homes to live there because they found that the people do much better and their medications go down and everything else when they have some creature to take care of and love. And it's incredible. And you know, you were talking about, so there are a lot of advantages to older dogs. I think they're just terrific. You know who adopted an older dog? George Clooney.
Oh,
I was just reading about it. He adopted an 8-year-old Cocker Spaniel who had been in the shelter and now flies around the world in private jets.
It's crazy. It's incredible. And, you know, a lot of these older dogs have been in the shelter for a long time. And the thing, you know, there are a lot of shelters now that are no kill, but there's a lot of kill shelters too. So if you are looking for a dog and you want to get one of these dogs, definitely get the older dog because, you know, probably they have been in there for quite a while.
Or they're going to be killed.
You're right. Yeah, that's
because
right.
Because the shelter only has so much room.
Right.
So they'll take a dog that's been there for a while and kill him and bring in another dog that's been dumped off for, you know, maybe no apparent reason. There are so many ridiculous reasons that people bring their dogs to a shelter. I remember there was a reporter from the New York Times who sat in a shelter for a day and listened to the reasons that people gave. One woman said, "The dog doesn't match my furniture."
Wow, that's really mentally ill.
Another guy said, "This dog poops too much in my backyard." Clearly, he wasn't walking the dog. I mean, people can be so irresponsible.
Yeah, it's really sad, especially those two reasons. What do they want him to poop in the house?
Right. It's terrible.
It's crazy. It's insanity. But go ahead.
So it could be a perfectly fine dog. There's nothing wrong with the dog. Right. It's the people who had them.
Well, it's just like the people that when the dog, they say, oh, about the dog being vicious. Dog didn't just get vicious by itself. It's the people that were treating
exactly.
them viciously.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, it all runs together in the same way. Can you talk about how Chips changed your life for the better?
Well, first of all, we met a lot more people.
Right.
We made a lot of friends through that dog. Secondly, my husband did get some illnesses later on. And having the dog was a great comfort. You know, my husband had to stay home a little bit more than he had been. He had an active business life and now he was retiring and he had to stay home more. And the dog was a wonderful company. You know, dogs live in the moment. They don't know about the future, the past. They very much live in the moment. And, you know, he would play ball with the dog and have fun with him. And the dog also had a sense of humor. I know it sounds crazy, but you know, they're very playful. And right. he started sitting next to my husband when we were eating. And I told my husband, don't feed him from the table because right. you'll never have a peaceful meal. But of course my husband didn't listen and he started feeding the dog a little bit of this and that. And so the dog would station himself right next to my husband. And then my husband would say, what should I do? I said, that's your problem. I told you not to feed him from the table. So the dog would look at him with those soulful eyes.
Yeah.
And my husband would say, no. Or he'd give him something or he'd say no. Or he'd say, you can't eat this. It's no good for you. Whatever it was, if he didn't give the dog something, the dog would grab his napkin and run away. He had a good sense of humor. He would take something and hide it. If you gave him a bone, he would go out and dig and hide it. He didn't know you're supposed to chew it. So he'd just dig a little hole in the backyard and stick it in there. Then he'd go looking for it. And right. sometimes we'd find it between the cushions of a couch. He was funny. He was just a funny dog. If we tried to dance together, he wanted to be picked up and dance with us. I mean, he was a great, fun dog.
So as we go toward the end of the interview, what do you feel like, what do you, I guess I should say, what do you hope people get out of this book, Marion?
I hope people will be encouraged to adopt instead of buying dogs and cats. There are millions of adoptable animals. And I also hope that if they insist on getting a puppy, please go to a legitimate breeder in your own state that you go and visit in person. Don't buy a dog on the internet or from out of state. These puppy mill people advertise themselves as breeders, but they are puppy mill perpetuators, and they charge a lot of money, and they are torturing the breeding dogs. Please don't buy a dog from out of state.
Yeah. And, you know, there's still puppies, too, that are in, you know, in shelters, too. You just got to be able to look. So if you do want a puppy, I'm sure you can find a shelter in your state or in your area that's in a shelter in general. So
rescue groups, too.
Right. Right. You talked about that earlier on in the interview. So as we end, and again, for people that are just tuning in, again, this is Marion Zola. Again, she is the author of the best-selling book on Amazon, Romancing the Dog, The Struggle to Make a Pound Dog Happy in Beverly Hills. So as we end, Marion, can you just tell people where they can find more about you, the website?
RomancingTheDog.com has plenty of information, and you'll see my both books. Well, if you Google Marion Zola on Amazon, you can see both my books listed. I have another book on a totally different subject. That book is about adultery, which is really different.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that did very well, but that is an older book. It was made into a Lifetime movie, and right now I'm most involved with animals, so I hope people will enjoy the book if they buy it. And please, everybody, have a safe July 4th holiday. And don't let your dogs be outside during the fireworks. They get too scared.
Right. Marion, thanks so much for coming on and talking to me. I appreciate you.
Rob, thank you so much for having me.